Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight we talk about how all of us want to have our graduating high school seniors attend college and get the necessary training so they may be successful in their chosen careers. When our sons and daughters are accepted for college, we are elated for them as they are elated for themselves. However, reality requires that they make an adjustment to the academic environment of college learning. My guest this evening, Dr. Callie Stevens-Taylor, is the Dean of Student Success at Cedar Crest College. She has been named Outstanding First-Year Student Advocate by Cengage and the National Resource Center for First-Year Students and Students in Transition. She was nominated for the award by Mary Alice Ocheski, Cedar Crest Vice President of Student Affairs and Traditional Enrollment. As the Dean of Student Success, Dr. Stevens-Taylor handles students' academic progress, management, and processes for student academic appeals and academic misconduct. It is a pleasure to welcome Dr. Callie Stevens-Taylor to help us take charge of our lives on WDIY. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I was so delighted to see this kind of program that was being offered for first-year students at Cedar Crest. I certainly would have liked something like that when I attended college.
So would I.
You didn't have one either?
Not quite the way we do it at Cedar Crest.
Yeah. I didn't have, there was no welcoming or nothing that I can recall. I was just so happy that I made it. Mm-hmm. And tell us, how did this student success for first-year students come about?
At Cedar Crest, we've been doing this work for longer than many colleges. So we started with a course called College Life over 20 years ago. And that was a short course offered in the fall semester, sort of an extended orientation course, helping students get to know the faculty and staff, campus resources, and talking about things like time management. And then about probably 10 years ago, we started realizing that we really needed this program to be bigger and broader for our students. So we've added two additional courses. So our first-year students take three courses in their first year of college. They are required for graduation. So they have to take them, and they have to spend their first year with us in the classroom talking about things related to successful transitions to college.
Now, they are required to take three courses. Is that in addition to the regular program, curriculum program that they are carrying?
It is in addition to their major and in addition to our general education requirements.
So
these courses are specifically designed, and we think that they're important enough that students need them in order to finish their curriculum.
Well, I think it's a wonderful idea. I wish I had had something like that. Not necessarily in undergraduate school, but certainly in graduate school. I would have loved somebody to have some peer support, because I found that difficult. So what are some of the problems that you discover in the first year with students that your program can help them with?
There are a number that we tackle in the first year, and there's some that I think are more broadly felt by students. So certainly individual students have different things that they struggle with based on their own individual needs. But overall, we see a couple of patterns. So the first one is students needing to get comfortable taking charge of their own lives, making decisions, taking responsibility for the direction that they're going in college. So many students have sort of always grown up expecting to go to college. They know that that's part of their plan. But when they get here, they don't always really know why or what they're going to do with the experience. So we spend a lot of time in the first year experience helping students get to know themselves. We do personality assessments. We do a lot of reflection. We help students think about what their strengths are, what they want to be better with, what their academic interests are. and then put together plans for their sophomore, junior, and senior year to make sure that when they graduate, they've developed all of those skills that they want to get out of the college experience.
Now, it sounds like this is an individualized program. Each person has their own goals. Each person has their own ambition. Do you help them to... some people come in with ambition already, and they know exactly what they want to be. Some people don't. They just know that they're in college. Huh, so glad. How do you help these young people?
I would say we focus specifically on those conversations in the spring of the freshman year. So in the fall, we're kind of getting our legs under us. And then in the spring, we start thinking a little bit more about why they're in college and what they want to get out of the experience. And we have an assignment in particular that I think speaks to what you just brought up. So this course is called Exploring Your Future. And we do a lot of major exploration and a lot of career exploration. One of the assignments that we ask students to do is to do some research and write a paper and do a presentation on potential career paths. And we've designed it in a way that can be flexible enough to address the needs of both of the kinds of students that you've just brought up. So if a student knows what they want to major in, or they think they know what they want to major in, we ask them to research that major, but then report on many different careers that that major can take them into. For a student who maybe doesn't know what they want to major in, but they think they maybe have some ideas about what they want to do in life, we ask them to think about what a career goal might be, and then research many different academic ways, different majors, different graduate schools that they can use to get there. So within the context of this particular assignment, students can tailor it to sort of where they are in the moment.
You know, it's interesting. As you were talking, I was thinking of a story. I may have shared this with my audience before, but I remember being a sophomore in college and having this discussion with my mother. And she said, honey, you're a sophomore. What are you going to major in? Have you thought about it? I said, yes, Mom. I'd like to be an actress on Broadway. And she said, my daughter is going to be major in acting and try to become an actress on Broadway. So when my mother talked that way, I decided to major in speech and became a speech therapist in the public school system from K through 12 and utilized my interest in drama in working with students and helping them to correlate their development of speech with reading and other subjects that they were dealing with.
That's still work that we do with students. So I think we have many students that think they know what a major is going to be like, or they have a particular idea about a career path in their head, and they only really think about that from the perspective of one job. But in actuality, as probably everyone listening here tonight knows, skills can be used in many different ways and in many different in jobs and in careers. And so we really want students to think about what they're good at and what they enjoy doing and how they can use those two things together to set themselves up for a career path that makes sense to them. So the example that you've shared is a perfect one. Being comfortable speaking in front of people, being able to enunciate, being able to get people to empathize with you as a person and as a character, those are skills that can be used in a wide variety of job markets. And so we want to help students thinking about early, when they're at the point where they need to start choosing a major, how they can use the things that they're good at and what they enjoy to set themselves up for maybe even new options that they never even know were out there.
Well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life, and this is your host, Eleanor Barbro, and my guest this evening is Dr. Callie Stevens-Taylor, who is the Dean of Student Success at Cedar Crest College, a private liberal arts college primarily for women in Allentown, Pennsylvania. In her capacity as dean, she provides leadership for the Academic Services Department, the Student Success Department, academic and advising, and academic recovery programs. You're involved in a lot of programs there, Dr. Taylor.
I am. It's great.
Yeah, wonderful. Can you give us an example of a person that you may have discovered who was floundering, was unable to decide what they wanted to do with their academic career?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So when I think about examples for this kind of student, I actually have a lot of them, and there's one in particular that I'll talk about. And this was a student that I worked with who thought she was going to be a meteorologist. She was majoring in meteorology and working in atmospheric sciences, undergraduate research and on campus. But she was also involved as a student leader. She was an orientation leader. She was a part of student organizations. And as a part of her experience as an orientation leader, she got connected with some younger students that were having some medical issues. And she sort of became an unofficial peer mentor for them. At the time that she was going through that experience, she was frankly struggling in some of her meteorology courses. And she was really wondering how she's ever going to be able to get a job in that field because she's struggling academically in the field. And as we talked about what she liked doing, what she realized, and this was a process that took many months of conversations back and forth and a lot of reflection, what she realized was that she really likes helping people. She's interested in meteorology, she's interested in atmospheric sciences, but as we went through this process, she realized that that's not her focus anymore. So now, fast forward many years later, she has had a number of really wonderful positions, and she's still working in emergency management. So she's in a position where she gets to help people that are going through crises. She gets to provide the emotional support, the financial support that people who are going through emergency circumstances, like the students that she got to mentor that were going through medical challenges. But she also gets to still use some of that atmospheric science knowledge. So when she works in emergency planning, she's the person in the room who understands the science behind what the organization is preparing to deal with. So it was a really wonderful example of how, through reflection and trying some new things and taking some risks, people can discover opportunities that never were on their radar before.
And she was able to integrate mm-hmm. her desires and her ambitions through going through the process of discussing and understanding where she was focusing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So that's a program really works very much in the students' way, because if she were left on her own without guidance, she would be floundering and perhaps making the wrong decision. Mm-hmm. And what I'm hearing is that this program helps young people to really look at themselves and to consider what way to integrate their interest and their knowledge to make a good decision on focusing on the careers for their lives.
That is certainly a goal, and I've been a part of first-year experience programs now at four different institutions that are all very different institutions with different students, different academic programs, and first-year experiences with very different structures. But that is the underlying theme behind all of them. Every first-year experience program that I've had contact with, what you've just described is exactly what they're trying to do. And so that's a great commonality across the country in the way that higher education in the U.S. is approaching this first-year experience.
So Cedar Crest is not alone in this focus on first-year success students.
We are certainly not alone. As you've referenced, I've been connected with the National Resource Center for first-year students. That is a center in South Carolina that has been focused for several decades now on publishing and researching the first-year experience, as well as other transition points for students. But it's something that has been getting increasingly more intention, probably over the last 15 years or so.
And so we're going to talk more about creating a student success and the Student Success Center at Cedar Crest College when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. And this evening we're talking with Callie Stevens-Taylor, who is the Dean of Student Success at Cedar Crest College, a private liberal arts college primarily for women in Allentown, PA. In her capacity as dean, she provides leadership for the Academic Services Department, the Student Success Center, and does academic advising and academic recovery programs. And we were talking about how you were able to guide students in their first year. And this, I believe, is a mandatory course.
It is.
How you were able to guide them in the first year, number one, of achieving success, and number two, of really focusing their energies on who and what they want to be and how they want to conduct themselves and perhaps what career choices they want to make in the college life. Can you give us any examples of how the program has impacted other people?
Sure. One of the great pleasures, of course, of my career is being able to see students transform from year to year. And there's one student in particular that I've been watching very carefully over the last couple of years. She was in my first year seminar course fall 2 years ago, so in her first semester at Cedar Crest College. And I teach a first year seminar course on education and human rights. So we talk about not only the history of human rights and how they've developed, but the role of education in promoting and supporting human rights. And this is not necessarily a topic that many people have thought of, you know, as freshmen in college. And so I push them not only to think about human rights, but to think about the ways that no matter what career path they go into, they have a role in protecting and promoting human rights. So I ask students to do a lot of thinking and writing about that topic. This student is somebody that I've stayed in touch with. Her sister has actually come to Cedar Crest, and so it's been great to sort of watch them connect as a family of college students. And I had the pleasure just a couple of weeks ago of going to Athens, Greece on our sophomore expedition program, and the student was a part of that. And one of the things that we did when we were in Athens was look at issues related to human rights. And so I got to see her now making connections back to the course that I had her in 2 years ago, but also thinking about now as she's gotten further into her major, how she still does play a concrete role in promoting human rights in her neighborhoods, in her communities, in her job places, with her families and friends. And that's been a really wonderful thing to see her really internalize her role in society in a really unique way.
Does she know what her goal is in terms of what position she's going to be looking for?
This particular student right now is thinking about nursing, which certainly opens up a wide variety to think about ways that she can support her community.
Well, I think that's really excellent and outstanding. I certainly wished I had a program like that when I was going to school. And it sounds really very, it's opening the vista for these young people. Because we all come in with, oh, my God, we're in college. How wonderful. And then we close up. We feel that we've, quote, unquote, accomplished our ideal. And you have a program that says, no, you're just beginning.
You're exactly right. I think a lot of students think that college is when they're going to make the decision that is going to steer the rest of their lives. They're going to make a lot of decisions, and they are all going to pack the rest of their lives in different ways. But I don't know that many of us could say that there was one decision that we made in college that really formed, you know, the next 50 years of our lives. That's a lot of pressure hanging on one decision for somebody to make as an 18-year-old. So I take the perspective that college is when you should start asking all of the questions that you want to ask to help figure out where you're going to go in life. And really what it should be doing is opening up new doors, not closing and narrowing you down to one particular path.
Well, I think that's very exciting, and it sounds like it helps young people who are coming into college in the first year to really acclimate themselves to the college campus, college life, college study, and they're not alone. And they have a place to talk about some of their fears, some of their disappointments, some of their happiness. And this is wonderful because most of the time in most colleges, you come to college, choose your major, choose your subject, do your homework, do your papers, and that's it. You don't have people advising you or whom you can consult with. Mm-hmm. So that's a wonderful opportunity that Cedar Crest is offering and that you are offering these students. to be able to realize their dreams and to be able to look and see whether their dreams are achievable, and if not, how they can integrate it into some other doable project. Mm-hmm. And I think that is very exciting. And how else does the program help these young people? Does it help them with their social lives and social adjustment? Could you address that?
Absolutely. We do a lot of work on connecting students to each other, connecting new students to current students, and then connecting our first-year students to the faculty and staff on campus that can be resources for them. One of the really unique things about our first-year experience from the social side is that two of the three classes that students take in their first year as a part of the first-year experience are taken with the same group of students. So they're with the same 15 students from the first day of fall all the way to the very last day of the spring semester, so the whole year. And that is taught by the same professor both semesters, and they have the same peer mentor connected to the class for both semesters.
And when you say peer mentor, what do you mean by that?
That is a current student, a successful current student that's successful academically, well-connected to the college, involved in things outside of the classroom, that has been specifically selected and trained to serve as a support service for our new students. So they're part advisor, part friend, part shoulder to cry on, part cheerleader. They're a current student that every first-year student knows that they can go to for advice and a safe space to talk.
And you mentioned earlier on your trip to Greece, one of the things I want to point out is that Cedarcrest seems to offer is it a guaranteed acceptance to an overseas program, an overseas educational program? Am I right in that?
Pretty close. Our first-year experience program continues into the second-year experience. And in the spring of our sophomore year, all of our traditional students are eligible, provided they meet certain financial and academic requirements, to participate in a guaranteed study abroad program.
For how long?
It's 7 to 10 days long. Oh. We take the whole sophomore class to one location. So our first inaugural year last year, we took a little over 100 students to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. This year, we took 143 sophomores to Athens, Greece. And next year, we'll be taking all of the sophomores to London.
Well, that is very exciting. I think Cedarcrest is the only college that I know of that offers this kind of program. Am I getting the right word, kind of guaranteed acceptance?
It is guaranteed. As long as they meet the eligibility requirements, they are eligible to go.
And what are some of the eligibility requirements?
We do require that students be in good academic standing. It is a study abroad. It's not a spring break trip. So it does have a pretty significant academic component to it. We also require that students be in good judicial standing and good financial standing. On the topic of finances, one of the goals of this program is to give students the opportunity to study abroad who may have never otherwise had that chance. So it is fully funded with the exception of the student's passport. As long as they can afford their passport, we cover the rest of the program from the moment we leave campus to the moment we return.
Well, that is amazing. So are you including transportation?
And absolutely.
That is amazing.
It is truly remarkable.
It is remarkable. And when I was listening to you say, you know, meeting the financial requirements, I said, oh, my goodness, what if a person can't afford it? But here, what you're saying is this is guaranteed so long as you have the money for the passport.
Absolutely.
That is amazing.
Yep. And we have to thank really, really good work on the part of our administration and some very generous donors for making sure that we as an institution have the funds to guarantee this for students going forward. The number of students that go on this trip that have never been on a plane, they've never left Pennsylvania, and now they're getting on a plane and going to Rio to just see their faces is unbelievable.
Well, that sounds truly amazing. That it's guaranteed for all of these young people who have successfully completed their first year. And what part of the year does this program take place, this overseas part?
It is in the spring of the sophomore year. Our first year this year and next year are during spring break, although depending on the destination in the future, there might be some shift. But it is designed to be the spring of the sophomore year.
Well, it sounds like this is a remarkable program that's designed for young people to really create, number one, insight into who they be and what they want to be, and to gain some mature perspective on their lives. Because coming from high school, we're all, you know, giddy and wonderful, and we've made it. But this is an opportunity to really explore in a mature way who they are, what they want to be, and having successfully completed their first year, they're rewarded with an opportunity to travel abroad. Mm-hmm. That's truly amazing.
It is. And one of our philosophies is that we're creating the next generation of global women leaders. We believe that you can't be a global leader if you've never seen the world. And so this is a way to make sure that every one of our students, if she wants it, has an opportunity to see the world. And we hope that it inspires them to go out and do that more.
Well, that is amazing. Now, how long has this program been operating?
We are just in our second year. And in August, we will announce where the next group will be going, which will be our fourth year.
That is amazing. I was going to ask you, you know, what the, you know, what the success rate has been and how young people have found their way. Do you have any young people who have made it through the program, or is it too early in the program to see where they have been, where they are going, rather?
For the sophomore expedition, we do have students that have told us really wonderful stories about the ways that the sophomore expedition, so for these students, these are students that went to Rio and now to Greece, have inspired them to get engaged in their community, to travel more, to take risks, to interact with new communities that they might have never interacted with before. Even though sometimes for students, sophomore year feels like it's too late to make academic decisions, there are some that are doing things like taking on new coursework because they're excited by these topics.
Well, how do people get in touch to explore more? Do they contact you? Do they contact Cedar Crest College? What's the process?
The easiest way is to contact our traditional admissions office at Cedar Crest College. I'm also more than happy to talk with anybody that wants to learn more about either of these programs.
And how will they get in touch with you?
You can visit our website. That's www.cedarcrest.edu. Or you can call me in Academic Services. And my phone number is 610-606-4628.
I want to thank you, Dr. Callie Stevens-Taylor, Dean of Student Success at Cedar Crest College, for helping us to take charge of our lives by understanding that all students are capable of success if they are given the opportunity to integrate their academic world with their emotional world, and their ability for success is unlimited. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.